So, hello everybody, and welcome to this week's Total Rugby League show. And you join us here at League Express Towers, and around the table we've got Aaron Bowers with us, and Matthew Shaw is here as well. Obviously, no intro music at the start because we're living in extraordinary times. Rugby League's off for the time being. We believe it's back in early April, scheduled to be back in early April for the Challenge Cup. I mean, Aaron, there's nothing to be said really, isn't there? Is there really? I don't.
No, it's pretty inconceivable to think it'll be on in any form by, what is it, the 3rd of April, the 3rd or 4th of April. Same goes with the Premier League and other stuff, I suspect. You know, this is unprecedented, as you say. So anything we say around here in terms of when we'll be playing again is guesswork. I suspect we will play behind closed doors at some point. I know there are far more important things happening in the world than sport. It won't be April, but I think we will have to play soon. Obviously, the right decision's been made. You know, I get following that they were following government advice, and we played at the weekend, and you know, for whatever reason, we carried on, but there was no choice Monday.
I mean, Rugby League wasn't the only show in town that carried on last weekend, but we have got Steve Brady coming on because, you know, Catalans were about to play a game on Saturday behind closed doors. So obviously, I think France are a bit further along than this country is at the moment. Catalans, Toulouse, I think, announced they were closing their offices before the weekend. So let's have an update now on what's going on with the French game. And on Wednesday morning, I caught up with Steve Brady.
Well, Steve, a big thank you for joining us. And, well, quite extraordinary times that we're living in. Tell us from a Catalans and Toulouse perspective and the domestic game, how that's been shaping up over the last couple of weeks or so in the midst of all this.
Well, it's really tragic, really, Ben, because you look at Toulouse and the way they're performing, unbeaten all season and flying at this early stage. The poor old Catalans have been stop-start because of a fixture clash with the World Cup Challenge at St Helens and then the weather postponed game at Wakefield. So they feel a bit hard done, do the Frenchies. I think it's just the situation. There's nothing can be done about it, and the coronavirus has put the tin lid on the whole thing. I'm sure it's the same back in England. I think maybe you could be a couple of weeks behind the draconian measures that we're under at the moment, but no one can move around here in France without a piece of paper, and at every checkpoint you're being asked by the police what you're doing, where you're going. We understand why. You know, they're trying to limit the disease. I think most people are okay with that, but the impact that has then on the activities of a club, it has the ultimate impact. They can't operate at all. They can't get together for training sessions. And what both clubs have asked the players to do is to go home, like every other club, I would imagine, in England. Go home, keep yourself fit. They've sent training regimes out to them and dietary requests, etc., just to keep them on top of performance for as long as this takes. And that's the big question. I mean, poor old Toulouse there, they were doing everything right. They organised a pioneering training session just a week ago with Stade Toulouse, the guys they share the stadium with, Stade and it's one of they're the French champions, multi-millionaire glamour club. And really surprised everyone. I didn't see it coming. There was no press release or no preemption to it. They held a full contact training session between the rugby union side and Sylvain Houle's rugby league side, which was brilliant. And I was looking forward to going over to Toulouse and talking to everybody about it. But we can't travel now. We're all locked up unless we've got specific needs.
Bernard Guaches, you spoke to him this week, and he's touched upon, and it's not just rugby league, this. I mean, I do three different sports, and everyone's in the same boat here. The future, if things progress without any rugby league or any sport whatsoever, and hospitality as well, which is, you know, another avenue of income for clubs, then the future's pretty bleak, isn't it? Unless there's some form of injection or interference from a higher body, like a government or something.
Well, over here in France, obviously, we listen to President Macron at 8 o'clock every evening, just after Boris has done his bit over there in the UK, and it's an impossible situation. So, poor Bernard Guaches here, he got double whammied by this thing, because his business, a very successful meat business, supplies all the local schools and local businesses and cafes and everything. So immediately that income was stopped. And then at the same time, he's got to pay for all these expensive players at a rugby league club that has no games. And he's been hit every which way but loose. So Bernard's in a bunker trying to sort out his business, and the club's offices are closed down now. You know, there's no one at the club. The boutique's closed, the gates are shut. Players are at home. It's a really peculiar environment. It's not a nice atmosphere. It's such an open and welcoming club. You know, three times a week, four times sometimes, they invite all the spectators in, the media, to come and meet the players and watch them train. It's a very open-doors club. And now they've got to close it. It just feels weird.
You know, Catalan's a big club, but there's the elite art clubs and all the way down the system, loads of community clubs who are vitally important, especially in the south of France, to their communities. Yeah. So there has to be some intervention, doesn't there?
Well, I mean, I haven't got a solution. I don't think anybody's got a solution, but my favourite idea, I've never been a fan of summer rugby. Maybe this will be the thing that turns us back to winter. Start kind of late summer and work our way through the colder months, which ain't too bad over here, I must admit, but... It never really put me off when I used to live in the UK. I used to love those snowy nights up at Thrumhall. So I'm not sure the authorities will allow that. Certainly Sky won't allow it with the schedules. But this is a brand new territory. You know, everything's been ripped up. You know, all contracts are null and void for me personally, because this is a global pandemic. You know, it's the stuff of science fiction novels. And it's, you know, all the rules go out the window then. And Sky are scrabbling around now because they've lost the Premier League football, etc. I don't know what the solution is. I mean, if you know someone who's got a solution, you better get them on the phone and get them on quickly, because I don't think anybody else has. We're just hoping for the best. I know hope's not a great plan, but that's all we've got at the moment.
Steve Brady there from League Express joining us here on the Total Rugby League show. Obviously, the main story now is the fact the season's been postponed for the time being. But the main story after this is going to be, how do these clubs keep going?
We do have to worry about the future of the clubs. But I don't think anyone should panic, because, again, we don't know how long this is going to go on for. When we get to a point where we need to panic, let's panic. But at the minute, we're not at that stage. And what we need to do is put measures in place so that if the worst happens, they can do as much as they can to deal with that situation.
I mean, there's an argument to say, I mean, there's... It's a very troubling time, not just for the clubs, but everyone linked to the clubs themselves, be that through the supply chains and that kind of thing. Also, the people who rely on the sport for a living, and I'm looking at myself here in the mirror. Yeah. I mean, it's a very worrying time. Some of these clubs, in fact, all these clubs, are pillars of their community. At some point, they're going to need help.
100%.
Because when we say the clubs need help, the towns need help. I mean, that's...
But I think the thing that needs to be remembered here is that everyone in the country needs help.
Yes.
It's not just rugby clubs affected by this. And I'm not saying that means that we should all, not do anything about it.
I know what you're saying, but what I'm trying to say is that the leadership of the sport, they need to get out there and make sure that they're in this discussion.
Yeah, for sure.
When you get to June, July, whatever, and fingers crossed, touch wood, hopefully, God, we're out of the other side of this. It's what the game looks like. And I get the feeling from, we're doing this on Wednesday morning, and there's talk that the Premier League are going to finish their season by playing games in one or two stadiums in the Midlands through the course of the summer to finish their season. They're obviously going to probably not play in April, but when you get to May, they might start again to honour broadcast contracts. Probably more than anything as well, though, to get people's minds off it and get some live sport on. I know the safety of the players is paramount. The NRL are trying to take measures, aren't they, to get people all out in one area together. So,
hey,
no.
Can we discuss the NRL thing? Because they appear to be out on their own. And when I say on their own, I mean...
Well, as
everywhere.
a country, because the AFL, the Aussie Rules, is carrying on. So they're going as a country. Look, if it works, I think this is going to be an interesting... barometer for everyone else in world sport, because if the NRL do take everyone to Townsville or Darwin and have 50 members of staff from every club, so 800 people locked down so nobody can catch anything, and we're playing games, it's going to wake a few people up into maybe doing the same thing themselves. So the NRL actually are a bit of a benchmark, a bit of an acid test.
It's such a big operation. It's a big operation to keep that.
It's an acid test
airtime
for the rest of the world, isn't it? If they can do it, if they can somehow do it, then... and I think Peter Valandis has said as well that they would be able to cope if someone tested positive. You know, there's measures they're thinking about. So if they do it, Rugby League is going to set the trend for the rest of the world, because the Premier League will be watching, County Championship Cricket will be watching. And my point I was making is that I think come May time, hopefully, there will be some rugby on behind closed doors, just because people are going to need a lift. People are going to need to see some sport. And if there's safety measures and health measures that can be put in place, I think we'll be on.
I mean, I was thinking about this before. I don't think we've had anything like this probably since the Second World War.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Maybe even the First World War when, you know, leagues tried to carry on and, funnily enough, the players weren't available.
100%, yeah. It's, which is, again, why we just need to not sit back. That sounds like we're all relaxing about it. Just need to let it play out a little bit and put measures in place that we can.
Well, that's obviously the main talking point, not just for sport, but for life in general at the moment. And Aaron said people need to pick me up. So let's talk about trivial matters and talk about the weekend and some of the matches which took place Thursday night.
Yeah, a good one.
Feels like a long time ago now, doesn't
it? A long time ago.
There's a number of ways we can approach Hull v Warrington. The performance from Warrington... The performance from Hull.
Lee Radford.
The post-match. I think that all three go hand in hand, in all fairness. But the ultimate takeaway from it, if I can use that horrible corporate phrase, is Lee Radford and how it was done.
Can I be honest? That, for me, the handling of it isn't the biggest question for me. It's the timing in that Lee Radford was off contract at the end of last season. And Hull FC... were going through a huge recruitment drive. Huge recruitment drive. And there were 13 players off contract. That team had come to the end of its cycle. They were refreshing it, rebuilding it. They decided to give Lee Radford a new contract to oversee that rebuild. They've spent an extraordinary amount of money on building that squad. His squad. And after seven games, they chop him. I don't get that.
And isn't it odd that everyone kind of knew that this suspension was coming of the season? Isn't it odd that it was done?
Yeah.
Because that was the last game, and you're basically going to spend a lot of money terminating that contract.
There's a few things in there because, yeah, they had a few injuries. They would have got them back. But they now have a squad tied up by salary cap and tied up by players that have been signed by a coach that you've now got rid of 7 games after recruiting them. So now they bring a coach in and this happens all over. And the biggest, biggest culprit, I suppose, in many ways, in recent years have been Huddersfield. They did it with Paul Anderson. Paul Anderson brought in a lot of players, brought in players mid-season. Then they sacked him. They brought another coach in Rick Stone, who didn't like the players that had been signed by Anderson, wanted to get rid of them. And it caused them a mightily awful salary cap problem that they're only really just about starting to come out the other side of. That's what I don't get about this, because now that will likely happen with Hull. Hull have to find a coach who is happy inheriting what he has and isn't going to go, I need to change this, this and this. But that isn't going to be easy to find in a game that's so full of different structures by different coaches. That won't be easy for Hull, and it could lead to a quite severe salary cap problem for them that they could feel the knock-on effects of for 2 or 3 years.
I mean, just to play devil's advocate for a second now, if you've seen a performance like that from the team that you've spent that much money on, could be given acting on impulse, I suppose, soon after the event.
Again, same as you, playing devil's advocate, you know, while you're right that if they knew the suspension was coming, they could have waited a few weeks to decide what was right. But similarly, now they've got a few weeks to make sure they absolutely get the right man. If Adam Pearson was adamant that it was time for Lee Radford to go, they've got a lot of time now to be careful and make sure they don't have to rush into an appointment, essentially. You know, they were looking at playing a game on Thursday night with Andy Last and Kieran Pertl in charge. That's probably not ideal. You might end up jumping into an appointment without being totally sure. So they've got a bit of time now. Whether it was the right time or not, only Adam Pearson knows. I'm of the opinion that 7 games into a season, like Matt says, when you've been allowed to build a new squad or a very... you know, fairly new squad with a lot of big names coming in, it's too early. Too early. I feel for Lee Radford. I'm sure he will be working in rugby league again, but it will be strange to see him not associated with Hull.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. I mean, what's the time frame here now that one of the assistant coaches has come in? I mean, there is no rush, I suppose.
No. Well, no, because the reality is... this is why I think they may go with an assistant coach already there, because what this time does give, and I'm assuming that all clubs aren't going to be in complete lockdown for however long this period is. They're going to have contact, a lot of contact time with the coach and the players to really build
they'll be
on
training,
stuff.
What, even if it's just a couple of days a week or something.
If Hull FC decide to go external, they ain't going to get to do that because they've got to try and get them out. If they go overseas, they've got to get them to the country, which not going to happen. You know, they're not going to get over here, so they lose out on that time. They could go domestic. Who would they go domestic? The natural one for me would be Ian Watson. Yeah. Because he is a coach.
Could they afford him? He's just signed a contract, hasn't he?
But he's also a coach that has constantly had to rebuild squads, constantly have to work with different players and figure out their strengths. And talking about what I was saying about the salary cap, that's why I think he would be a sensible one. But that would be a call that they'd want to make quick, because this what this does is give you contact time with your coach to get these structures in place and yada, 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 and get them understood. But for that reason, I don't think anything like that will happen. I think they'll go for the year, they'll go for someone already at the club to give them that contact time that they've got right now.
Now, for the last few weeks, many people around this table have been jostling, saying, Wigan are the team to... St Helens, they're the team to watch. And you might notice, dear listener, at home, when you've been listening to the show, I've been keeping relatively quiet, because we all know what...
You were going to argue that Salford...
We all know what's what, don't we?
We were both wrong.
Friday night, Salford 18, Wigan 14.
Normally this would be a fantastic opportunity for me to have a dig at Aaron, but I know that should I do that, it would be coming straight back at me. So I'm just going to sit here and go, you know what? What I will say is, I've said for a while I think Salford will be all right. I've not seen anything to make me think they wouldn't be all right, and I think that performance proves that they will be all right. Are they going to make the playoffs? Are they going to make the top five grand final? No, I doubt it. But I don't think they're a million miles off where they were 12 months ago. And I think that result proves that, you can say what you want about Salford, they will be fine.
There we go. What does it say about Wigan?
Well, I turned that game off at 14-2. So I thought it was done. I just didn't see anything in there.
Aaron, can I let you into a little secret?
Yeah.
I did the same.
I just thought it was done. Wigan looked like they were cruising. Salford looked like they were struggling in attack. Wigan's defence has been really good this year. So I can't tell you what happened because I turned it off.
It was very un-Wigan-like.
Un-Wigan-like, or were they just caught on the hop by Salford, basically? Just
an element of both.
And now levels, we should say, who had a stormer.
An element of both, but Wigan don't collapse like that. You know, they don't concede 16 points a half unanswered. It's not like Wigan. And Salford were good, don't take that away from them, but just thought Wigan were bullied a bit down the middle, which, again, how often do we say that? I think there's still a lot of question marks over George Burgess. I think, look, Wigan have still had a great start to the year. They have. Five from seven is a good return. But there'll be a few concerns about the last two performances, the first two performances, because they weren't great against Hull KR. They weren't great at the weekend. They weren't great against Warrington. They weren't great. They were terrible against Castleford. So they've really only put three good performances in so far. They have got five wins, but this for me is why, and come back to it, I don't think they're the benchmark team yet. I don't think they have the right to say that at the minute.
Well, that takes us on to Sunday then, Aaron. And, St Helens. They were well beaten.
Aaron don't want to talk about St Helens.
Matt tipped Castleford to finish ninth this season.
May have to start thinking that was a slight mistake.
Absolutely ridiculous. I tipped them to finish fourth for the record.
I mean, we could criticise St Helens or whatever you want, but Castleford were on another plane, weren't they?
Fantastic.
Castle were really good.
Richardson and Truman looks like a pairing, doesn't it? With McShane in front of them and Rankin, who has been the biggest surprise of all to me, playing behind them. They've said it before, they had a fair few question marks over where they were going to play people, who the first choice was going to be in certain positions. And a number of players have shown themselves to be just what you would expect from Darryl Powell. Why have they signed him? Why are they going to play him there? Why have Castleford signed Daryl Olfertz, who couldn't get in Salford's team on the way to the grand final last year? Looks a hell of a find. Chase Blair, everyone was ready to write off. They've moved him into the back row. He looks fantastic.
That's been the best thing that he's done, Powell.
Yeah. He nailed his colours to the mast with Rankin. They are a very, very good side. They're a very well-balanced side. They're not reliant on one individual. They've got two, three, four in the spine. Then they've even got players, you know, in the three-quarter line in the pack that can turn a game for them. So they were far too good for St Helens, who, at the risk of over-exaggerating, just don't look right under their new coach. And I don't know whether that
That's bound to happen, though, isn't it?
If the NRL carries on as it is expected to at the moment, we will find out whether that is because Christian Wolf hasn't got it right at St Helens, or because Justin Holbrook was just even better than we all thought.
I think the thing that probably concerned me now, it'd be good to have a player in here to ask this question to, but I'll throw it to you guys. The fact that Louis McCarthy Scarsbrook appeared to be effectively taking the half-time team talk.
Yeah, I saw that on the Sky coverage, yeah.
We've had the cameras in changing rooms for quite a while.
I've never seen anything like that before.
You often get influential players in the dressing
room.
He's
not even the captain.
No, there is that. But you do get players who stand up
and maybe the cameras went in at the wrong time when, you know, Wolford said what he wanted to say. And then, but it just, I don't know.
It wasn't Bernard Gouache levels, or was it, really?
No. But it was a bit weird. I was like, that doesn't look quite right to me. Mm. I don't think they were terrible Saints, but they weren't good. They were, by their own standards, they were poor.
Yeah, defensively on that left edge, they were abysmal.
Don't think it's panic stations yet, is it? But a bit like Wigan, I'm not completely convinced at the minute.
Just before we move on to the Challenge Cup results, just a quick mention, Aaron, you mentioned good signings for Castleford. I thought Chris Kamara was a brilliant signing for Sky Sports.
Yeah, he was a good
one. he was very good.
Yeah, he was good. It was different, but everyone, you would probably get annoyed with it if he was on every week, would be mine.
What a smiling face.
No.
It was
a gimmick, wasn't it? It was a gimmick.
It was a novelty.
Yeah, it was a novelty, and novelties don't last forever. But he was still better than some regular pundits.
Oh, I feel a bit sorry for the Sky pundits. They're overexposed, that's a problem.
Possibly.
And to be fair to Sky, they have started bringing new people in.
Mm. Yeah, like Luke Hale's done it on here and stuff.
Which is good, which is great, really good. But we've got the same guys that have been on for a long time now and have been doing a minimum of 2 games a week. I think naturally you're going to get a bit fed. I don't think, you know, I feel a bit sorry for them really, because I think they're actually all pretty good in their own way.
Well, that was Super League, everyone. There were some Challenge Cup matches, and we're not going to go through every single result, but Toronto won.
Yeah, they were really good. What was interesting about that game was that they played a different style of rugby. They didn't fling the ball around here, there and everywhere and hope something turned up. They played a more conventional style of rugby. Played down the middle, played efficient, kicked well at the end. You know, they didn't try anything ridiculous. And they won the game, which is probably a bit of a lesson learned for them. But they were good. Having probably been comfortably the worst player on the pitch against Leeds, the man who was by far and away the best player on the pitch in that game was Gadwin Springer.
He only used one sub, didn't he?
Damn it, that was just weird. One sub. Just rotated.
Who didn't get used?
Darcy Lusick, who was injured.
Yeah.
Blake Wallace and Tony Giga. Well, good win for him.
Well, congratulations to Toronto for that win there. Also, congratulations to Featherstone Rovers, who got past Hunslet, which was easier said than done, and they did make it look easy in the end. Not making it look easy was Hull KR against Lee Centurions, 22-19 in the end. Mm. I think Lee will be feeling a bit like, oh,
that was a missed opportunity.
Could have done that.
Let's face it as well, it wasn't even a strong Hull KR team.
Dewsbury Rams won their midweek encounter last week in round 4 against Whitehaven, but then were beaten by the Newcastle Thunder. No disgrace in that, really. I think Dewsbury is a lot to ask playing 3 games in a week.
Yeah, it will have taken its toll.
Pushed them,
especially
close.
Against Newcastle.
Pushed them close. Played on a going from a quagmire to a artificial pitch.
Not Toronto, didn't they? Newcastle in next round. It's a good draw for him.
And it's a good draw for the game, to be honest.
Yeah, sounds good, doesn't it?
Sheffield overcame a banana skin too, beating Workington Town. Wakefield Trinity 17, Bradford Bulls 14.
That was really a shock, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's going to give John Kerr some room for optimism there.
Yeah, and they'd won a couple of games before that as well, haven't they? So it's,
Here's a question for you. Would LFC consider going for John Kerr?
I think he's operating under a very different set of circumstances at Bradford and doing a good job.
Agreed.
He would... It'd be a different ball game for him, wouldn't it?
It's not a ball game that he's not used to, though.
No, it's not, but probably one he hasn't done for quite some time, having worked at Batley, Wakefield and Bradford in the last 8 or 9 years.
And would John Kerr want a job like that,
I don't
know, in all fairness? Because the Bradford gig at the moment it's his gig, really, with everything that's gone on.
He's had to spin a lot of plates, hasn't he, in the last year or so?
Widnes 32, Swinton Lions 16. And finally, a great result this. York City Knights 70, Rochdale Hornets 12. And with that's it.
Yep.
for the time being. We
just take it day by day, see what we're told to do, and let's do it, and do what we can in the meantime.
To all our listeners and the readers of TotalRL.com and League Express and Rugby League World and The Guardian, of course, Aaron, is make sure you take care. Like we said, keep it TotalRL.com for all the news, what's going on. League Express out on Monday.
Back chat's on.
Oh, God, you know what? In all this, I've totally forgot. Backchat is on.
Backchat is on.
In a new setting.
Yes, and it made an office.
It looked like... I don't know what it looked like. You know, like in America, they, you know, like Birmingham, Alabama have their own TV studio and all that. It's like it was like that.
It's very peculiar having seen the show, seeing that office as a TV back. It like doesn't look the same somehow.
Did you do that Simpsons thing of making sure people were walking past, whether it be the same person or not? Was it just Lorraine walking past every 5 minutes or so just to make it look even busier than it is?
I think Lorraine and John were buzzing. They got to come in at 11 o'clock, got a couple of hours off. Meanwhile, Muggins here had to come in at 7:15 to let them all in.
This show's going to take a hiatus for a bit until we know what's going on.
Basically, until there's some rugby on.
Yeah, exactly.
Also some rugby on.
Well, Aaron, if it's a couple of weeks, I'll see you then. If it's not, you take care of yourself. Oh, yeah. And thanks for joining us. Matthew Shaw, always a pleasure. And
stay safe. Wash
and
your
stay
hands.
Safe, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.